I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm your host, J. Mark Horst. This weekly Bible teaching program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international media and literature ministry. Through the prayers and financial support of you, our listeners, we broadcast our Bible teaching programs in English and 15 other languages to millions of listeners around the world every week. Your partnership is touching lives with the gospel. Just 2 weeks ago, some of us observed the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and I hope you were able to participate in that event. Hebrews 13 and verse 3 commands us to remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. If you're a Christ follower, you're part of the global church, the body of Christ. Those who suffer for Jesus' sake, they're our brothers and sisters. We mustn't forget them. In fact, their primary prayer request for those of us who live in the West is this: not that the persecution would end, but rather that they would be faithful to Christ in spite of the persecution. You and I should join them in that desire to be faithful.
Let it be said of us that the Lord was our passion, that with gladness we bore every cross we were given, that we fought the good fight, that we finished the course, knowing within us the power of the risen Lord. Let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. By mercy made holy, by the Spirit made strong, let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. Till the likeness of Jesus be through us made known, let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. Let it be said of us, we were marked by forgiveness, we were known by our love, and delighted in meekness, we were ruled by His peace, heeding unity's call, joined as one body, that Christ would be seen by all. Let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. By mercy made holy, by the Spirit made strong, let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. Till the likeness of Jesus be through us made known, let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. Let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song.
Thank you, men. In case you weren't aware of it, the persecution of Christians is growing dramatically worldwide. I believe Satan knows that his time is growing short before the return of Christ, so he's pouring out his hatred and his venom on Christ followers like never before. Some countries that were formerly known for their secular governments and their religious tolerance are growing more and more hostile to the gospel. Two of those countries that immediately come to my mind are Turkey and India. We broadcast Bible teaching programs in both countries. And you know, those Bible teaching programs are becoming increasingly important as anti-Christian opposition builds. As Christ followers, suffering shouldn't surprise us. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 15 and verses 9 to 21. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Not long ago, we at Heralds of Hope had the privilege of hosting a pastor from India for several weeks. One of the things that he spoke passionately about was the growing persecution of Christians in his country. In just the past few years, India has jumped from 28th on the World Watch persecution list to number 10. Attacks against Christ followers have jumped more than 200% during that time. Some of you had the opportunity to hear this pastor from India at one of our events, but many of you didn't have that opportunity. So for your benefit, we sat down in our studio and recorded an interview with him. We'll be airing that interview over the next two editions of The Voice of Hope. In a few moments, you'll hear him share the first part of the interview about the changes in India and what's driving the increase in the persecution of believers. But before we listen to that interview, here are the men to remind us of the call to every child of God.
Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shalt be. Perish every fond ambition, all I sought and hoped and known. Yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven are still my own. Haste thee on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. Hence eternal days before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. Soon shall close thy earthly mission, swift shall pass thy pilgrim days, hope
hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight, and prayer to praise.
Thank you, men. Now, let's get right to the interview. It's my pleasure today to introduce a pastor from India. And we're not going to reveal his name because of the increasing persecution against Christians in India, but I'm sure that you'll find this interview enlightening. I hope you find it encouraging, and I hope it also will spur you to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in India. So, Pastor, tell us about the rise of persecution in India in the last several years.
The Lord has blessed India in several ways in bringing the gospel to this land because of the commitment of several missionaries that brought the gospel to India. And the rise of persecution in the last several years has been since about 7 or 8 years. And I can see that there is a gentle change in the people's attitude. Some 2 or 3 decades ago, what we saw was that the people did not mind, you know, adding Jesus Christ as the God to the list of gods they have. But since these 7 and 8 years, it's been like, we don't want you to talk about Jesus at all. We just do not want you to add to our list of gods and goddesses. So we see that, you know, time and again, whenever we go to people and try to give the gospel out, there is always a question about, why do you want to give this gospel? Don't we have a God of our own? By telling us about a God that you're talking about, you're trying to insult my God. That's the kind of thinking people are talking to us in the past several years.
So the frequency of the attacks by militant Hindus has increased by some 200% in just a few years. What do you see as the reason for that rapid increase?
That's a very good question. What I would say is that the reason for the rapid increase is because of the networking of several militant, violent organizations that do not want the gospel to be proclaimed or shared with the people of India. And this network is so strong. They have their presence literally in every tiny village in India. We hear reports from everywhere that either there is a burning of a church or the PA system is damaged, Bibles are burnt, and pastors are killed in many cases. Many are brutally treated and many are murdered. And this rapid increase is because of the militant Hindu movement that's been very strong all over the country of India.
So what you're saying is in the last number of years, it has become much more organized than it was in the past.
That's correct.
And then, obviously, if that has happened, someone has organized that and someone is funding it. Tell us about that.
What I have come to know is that the funds have been given by many of the Indians who are in America and some probably in UK and other countries. And these Indian people who have amassed a lot of wealth, they send the money into India and support the network morally, financially, in every respect possible, so that the networking of the anti-Christian movement will go on and on. And that is what we have come to know of late.
Okay, so ultimately, I think we'd agree the mastermind behind this is our enemy, Satan, but he's using people to accomplish his purposes and to try to suppress the gospel.
That's very true, yes.
Many Indians, you've told me, believe that if you're truly an Indian, then you have to be a Hindu. What's the philosophy behind that idea?
I think the philosophy behind this idea is because India actually was a Hindu country, and they want to make it a Hindu state. I believe the talks are going on. And if India should be a Hindu country, then they do not want the Christians or Muslims to be in the country anymore. So, you know, like they look at us Christians and pastors as parasites.
Okay.
Or even second-class citizens, as if we are not born in this country. But I want to let you know that we are born and brought up in this country of India, and we are truly Indian, and we love our country, we love our people, and we pray for our people, and we are thankful that we are born in India so that we can give the gospel to our nation.
So the opposition to the gospel and to Christians is increasing. Persecution is increasing. How's the church responding to this crisis?
Church is responding to this crisis of persecution and opposition, I would say, in three ways. Number one is unity. I can see that Christians and pastors are getting united everywhere. Before the persecution, like, there was no proper unity. But now the pastors and the Christians and the churches are trying to form groups, praying together, discussing together, and talking about how they can come together as one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second, I would say, is purity. The church is being purified by the persecution. If we can look back into the book of Acts, when the church was being founded by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church was purified by the persecution that the church went through. And I believe the same thing is happening in the Indian church. More and more there is persecution. More and more I can see that real, true believers are able to see who they are. And those who do not really believe in Christ as their Savior probably will drop out. Anyway, ultimately apostasy will come. There will be dropouts. But we praise God for the purity that the church is getting because of the persecution. And the third is the chastity. I think the church is becoming chaste. I know the Lord is perhaps chastising us with love. As the book of Hebrews says, the Father who really loves the Son chastises the Son. And I think the Lord is doing it to the church in India so that we would become pure and acceptable to God, ultimately, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The portion you mentioned there in Hebrews talks about the Lord chastening the ones that He loves, and so that their lives produce the fruit of righteousness. And that's what we're talking about. So that there's obvious evidence that these people are truly born again. With all of this turmoil and growing conflict, the spiritual needs in India are enormous. And what are some of the ways in which you and your team reach out with the message of the gospel?
The fundamental way in which we are trying to meet the needs of the people and giving out the message of the gospel is teaching and training pastors and believers so that we all would be equipped with the strength of the Word of God, with the truth of the Word of God, so that we can move about in our country with truth in love. And we are also equipping the new believers by teaching them the cost of discipleship. Without paying the cost of discipleship, no one can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And so every believer needs to be ready to pay the cost if he or she should be a disciple of the Lord. So we are asking and sharing with the people that the message of the gospel does need a cost to be paid, and we need to pay that. And our Lord Jesus has told us time and again that we would go through persecution wherever we are, and we have to go through the persecution. And as sometimes Paul said, it's a joy for him to suffer for the cause of Christ. And maybe we need to get ready for that.
Well, you mentioned about training pastors and leaders. I know that one of your goals is to plant churches in villages where there's no Christian witness. That's a vital part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Is it sometimes difficult to gain access to a local village and If so, what causes that difficulty?
One of the main reasons why we face a difficulty to gain access to a village is because, as I said before, the network in every village. I was told by some of the evangelists who wanted to evangelize the village, as even they tried to enter into the village, they were accosted by the people of the network. And they asked the evangelists, whom do you want to go to? And if they know someone really in the village, they had an access. And if they did not know a person for sure with his name and the locality and his occupation and so forth, you know, they were asked to leave the village immediately. And I was also told by some of our evangelists that they were beaten up and they were caught by their shirts and pulled along the roads so that they would feel insulted and will not come again to the village. But yet, they believed that the Lord was allowing them to give the gospel to the village, so we praise God for that.
Well, I know that you're involved in a number of different things with the ministry there. What are some of your greatest ministry needs right now, and how can people help to meet those needs?
I would strongly say that one of the biggest ways and the strongest ways anyone can help the church in India today is by praying.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday
cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday
My friend, what you heard was the first part of an interview with a pastor from India. I hope you can join me next time on The Voice of Hope for the second part of the interview. You can request an audio copy of this complete interview by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this interview whenever it's convenient for you. And we also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or you can read an encouraging testimony from someone whose life has been touched through the ministries of Heralds of Hope. If you'd like to know how you can stay better informed about the persecution of Christians around the world, we'd be happy to point you to some good resources. Now, once again, our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Just ask for the India interview or for more information about the persecuted church. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can mail your gift or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll present the final part of the interview with the pastor from India. I hope you can join me. And until then, I pray this will be your experience.
Far away in the depths of my spirit today rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father.